I'm going to share with you from the book of Romans, a passage that maybe many of us are familiar with. And the Apostle Paul has tremendous insight into human nature. And this is part of it. And so this reading kind of picks up. If you want to get a bigger picture, you need to read the preceding chapter. But anyway, he says, from the letter of the Apostle Paul to all of God's beloved in Rome, and we might add to all of God's beloved in Motley. I don't know what I'm doing. How many of you have ever felt that way? That you don't know what you're doing. And sometimes even when you're doing it, sometimes you feel like, I don't really know what I'm doing. You kind of figure it out on your way. Because I don't do what I want to do. Have you ever had that experience? Instead, I do the thing I hate. But if I'm doing the thing that I don't want to do, I'm agreeing that the law is right. But now I'm not the one doing it anymore, but instead it's sin that lives in me. I know that good doesn't live in me, that is, in my body. The desire to do good is inside of me, but I just can't do it. But if I do the very thing that I don't want to do, then I'm not doing the one thing anymore. Instead, it is sin that lives in me that is doing it. So I find that as a rule, when I want to do what is good, evil is right there with me. I gladly agree with the law on the inside, but I see a different law at work in my body. It wages a war against the law of my mind and takes me prisoner with the law of sin that is in my body. So I'm a miserable human being. Who will deliver me from this dead corpse? Thank God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
All right. And now we're going to move on to the gospel lesson. From the Gospel of Matthew. This is an interesting text. And at first glance, it doesn't seem to fit with our Old Testament text or even the New Testament text, but we're going to see if it fits. To what will I compare this generation? It is like a child sitting in the marketplace calling out to others, we played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We sang a funeral song and you didn't mourn. For John, that's John the Baptist, came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he has a demon. Yet the human one, Jesus, came eating and drinking, and they said, look, a glutton and a drunk, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved to be right by her works. And at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have shown them to babies. Indeed, the Father, this brings you happiness. My Father has handed all things over to me. No one knows the Son except the Father. And nobody knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal him. And then we come to this verse that many of us are knowing. Come to me, all who are struggling hard and carry the heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke, learn from me. I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. Here ends the reading of the gospel. Wow. About a week or so ago, Carol and I, plus the Riverside Church, are involved in what's called a Midwest mission. You may have heard of it. I think some of you have had. I've seen articles about it in your newsletter. We still get the newsletter. Thank you so much for sending that newsletter. I read it from cover to cover. Anyway, we're involved in this Midwest mission, and I've been trying to contact the director of their foundation up there, because I had some questions for her, and finally we were able to make a connection, and so we had just a great hour-long phone conversation with each other. And she says, I did a crazy thing on Friday. I said, what's that? She says, I took a day off. When was the last time you did something crazy? I'm going to share a story. Hopefully, Carol, it's okay if I share this story. And she's wondering, what story are you going to tell? But this is one of the most craziest things I've ever done. Carol and I didn't know each other. We hadn't met until that time back in 1986. She and her son Tony were living in Detroit Lakes. And my father had just passed away, and so I made multiple trips up there to help my mom out. And I still have some friends there because that's where I graduated from high school. And so my friends talked me into going and meeting a bunch of other people that he was acquainted with. And so I finally gave in and said, okay, I'll go. And so we went, and we were sitting around this table, and you know, if I told you where we met, you might begin to have serious questions about me, but we were at the American Legion, and we were sitting around the table, and I told my friend, his name is Jim, so Jim, I'm going to leave, and don't bother to drive me home. I was just going to walk. The walk was good, and because I knew we were going to get up early the next morning, because we were doing some duck hunting. But anyway, in walks Carol, and our eyes connected with each other. Instead of walking out, I went back to the table. We ended up on the dance floor together. And when we were on the dance floor, all of a sudden, I heard this voice. It wasn't her voice. It wasn't my voice. And I looked around. It wasn't anybody else's voice. Whose voice do you think was speaking to me? It's God's voice. And God said very clearly and very simply, this is the one for you. And all of a sudden, I had that desire. I could have asked her to marry me on the dance floor. I didn't do that. But that's one of the craziest things I've ever done. I've done a number of crazy things. I could spend the rest of our time plus next week to tell you all the crazy things that I've done, okay? But I bring this up because there's a crazy element when it comes to our faith. And I firmly believe that if our faith is active and growing, if our faith is alive, God calls us not only into new life, but into new adventures. When God called us to go up to Park Rapids to be the director of Northern Pines Camp, it's a camp that I grew up in. But did I have any experience being a camp director? No. None whatsoever. But I've learned that God calls us to new adventures, not because we have the experience, not because we have the knowledge and the skill, but He calls us because God equips us when we answer that call. And we start on that faith journey, and God equips us with the knowledge and the skill that we need to do the job. And so that kind of faith sometimes has a huge element of risk involved in it. Calls us beyond ourselves, calls us beyond our comfort level, to something totally new and brand new. And that's where the story of Rebekah comes in, and Isaac. Abraham, the father, was concerned. Sarah had just passed away. And Abraham was concerned to find a wife for his son. But they were living in a land in Canaan that didn't share their Jewish history or belief or values. He says, I want you to go back to our homeland. I want you to find a wife for my son. And his servant says, I've never done this before. I've never been there before. But he didn't. And so he packed up 10 camels, and made that trek. He got outside and he stopped at a well. And he really didn't know what to do next. So what does he do? He prays. He offers up a prayer to Almighty God. And it's a specific prayer that if it's your will, Lord, that the person you've selected for my master Abraham's son, Isaac, then show that to me, but when she comes, that she might offer me a drink of water from the well. And besides that, then to offer water to my camels. So here along comes Rebekah, not expecting anything to change. She came to draw water for her family. And she sees Abraham's servant, and she gives him a drink of water, and then she says, let me also water your camels. That is no small feat. Do you know how much water camels drink? Between 25 and 30 gallons of water. And there were 10 camels. Now, she didn't have a faucet to turn on. She had to lower a bucket, and this bucket was the size that held maybe 3 gallons of water. Can you imagine the amount of effort and strength and time it took to feed this camel? But she did that. Talk about hospitality, going over and above. She didn't have to do that, but she did. And so Abraham's servant knew that Rebecca was the person for Isaac. So they went back to her tent. She got the consent and the permission from her family, and her family said, "Do you want to go with this Abraham's servant, whom you just met? You have no idea who Isaac is. You've never met him. You've never seen him. Do you want to go?" And she said, she didn't hesitate, and she said yes. Our faith leads us beyond the unbelievable. It challenges us to move beyond. Rebecca left everything she knew. She left her family, she left her country to a place unknown to her, because she felt God calling her to a whole new life. She became the wife of Isaac. The story doesn't stop there. And so she and Isaac were joined together, and they got married. And they kept on trying to have children with no luck until she was older. And finally, she was able to bear a son at an older age. They stayed faithful to God's promise. All of this would not have happened without Rebecca's faith, without Abraham's servant's trust in Abraham. The element of trust plays a big role in the life of faith, perhaps the biggest role. And the thing that enables us is that we learn more and more as we go on in this life, that the more we trust, the more we begin to learn about who God is, the more we learn about who Jesus is. The Apostle Paul says that, you know, "I'm the least among, you know, the apostles." He never thought of himself as a highly, you know, intelligent person, but he must have been. But he was humble. And so we turn to the gospel passage, you know, where Matthew, where Jesus talks about the wisdom of children. Our faith not only involves an element of risk, but our faith, if we are open to it, leads us beyond understanding. It leads us beyond our current level of knowledge. You know, if we continue to stay where we are and continue to live on the basis of what we know. It's actually going to hinder our faith growth because our understanding only goes so far. It doesn't mean that God dismisses the mind, but our mind has certain limitations to it. Our understanding has limitations to it. We don't know what the future holds, but God knows the future. And so that's where wisdom comes in. It's knowing that we don't know everything. You know, we're not teenagers anymore. We're not the sweet 16 where we think we know everything. You know, I don't know about you, but I've come to the point in my life where I realize that what I know now isn't half of what I've already forgotten. And I realize that I don't know half what I need to know. The mind is an amazing, you know, part of our body. It really is, as the rest of our body is. But when it comes to the life of faith, it leads us beyond what we can understand into new ways of thinking, new ways of perceiving, new ways of doing things that we've never done before. New ways. Now, as I understand it, you're in the midst of a transition. Is that right?
Yep.
Well, of course you are, because I wouldn't be here. So thank you for being in this transition period, because it allows me the opportunity to be with you for a very short time. You know, churches go through transitions every time there's a change in pastors. You had your pastor for 10 years. Is that right? About right? If I believe that. And according to my historical knowledge of this congregation, okay, that's the longest pastorate of any pastor that has served Botwin. Carol and I were hoping to get to year number 10, but somebody called the bishop had different thoughts. We didn't make it. And so you're in a time of transition. You don't know exactly what the future holds. You have a new pastor coming from all places, as I understand it, from Idaho. On the one hand, it's exciting. On the other hand, it could be a little, I'm not sure about this. There could be an uncertainty about it. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he's like. And so there could be that tension. And so we go back to the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. There's that tension inside of us. There's a part of us that may be open, and there's a part of us that maybe we're not quite ready to let go of Greg, because he's been here for 10 years. And that's another component of faith, is letting go. We can't move on until we let something go. Because we're really not moving on when we drag something along with us. And so we need to let go. In order to let go, we have to trust. We have to trust that God knows something we don't know. Now, isn't that unbelievable? You stop and think about it. We need to take the example of Abraham's servants, trusting in Abraham, trusting that he'll find his way, trusting that God will show him the person that Isaac is going to marry. It takes sometimes a high level of trust to bring that about. So there's always that ongoing conflict, and sometimes it's a battle within us. Should we not? But then that Roman text then concludes, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one. As long as our focus is on Jesus, as long as our focus is on God and whom we can trust, because God's faithfulness to us is unshakable. We can literally place our whole life. You can place the life of this congregation in the hands and the life of Christ. And you know you are in the best hands possible. Trust Him. Trust Him beyond yourself. Let Him lead you in this new time, in this new place. And all of God's children said,